Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English 3rd year 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss Block 4, Feminist Thought. In this block, we will talk about Unit 12 with the title The Postcolonial. Today, we will discuss about the development of postcolonial feminism. Then we will talk about double colonization, liminality and hybridity within the postcolonial context. And then we will end with some thoughts of some significant postcolonial women writers. So, let us start. Let us first understand what the term postcolonialism means. The term post in postcolonialism refers to the period after colonialism, a period during which England has annexed a number of countries. From the late 1970s, the term postcolonialism has been used to discuss the effects of colonialism on these former British colonies. Postcolonial writers are mostly concerned with examining how European colonialism had impacted the social, political, and cultural fabric of the colonized countries. Such writings often presented a view that was opposed to the Western perspective. Postcolonial literature appears to be a more comprehensive term that includes all the work that was produced in the third world countries, which contested the Eurocentric view. Postcolonial literature presented a version that was located within the context of the third world countries. Postcolonial literature can therefore refer to a studied engagement with the experience of colonialism and its past and present effects. It often involves the discussion of experiences such as slavery, migration, resistance, race, gender, as well as responses to the discourses of imperial Europe such as history, philosophy, anthropology and linguistics. The shift towards this perspective happened because of a notable work published by the psychiatrist Frantz Fanon. He was actively involved in the Algerian liberation movement. His seminal work, The Wretched of the Earth, which was published in 1961, studied the effect of colonial domination on the psyche of the colonized. He also theorized that a national culture often evolves from the struggle to overthrow the colonial rule. On the whole, his work inspired an interest in the manner in which individual experiences and cultural identity are produced in postcolonial writing. Another significant work that inspired postcolonial writers was Edward Said's Orientalism, which was published in 1978. In this work, he examined the processes by which the Orient was constructed in European thinking. The Orient, as constructed by the Western thinkers, intellectuals, artists, and politicians, consisted of many assumptions and stereotypes, all of which had more value as an instrument of power that was exerted by the West over the Orient. Therefore, he observed that Orientalism emerged as a Western style for dominating, reconstructing, and having authority over the Orient. Now that we have understood the word postcolonial, let's move on to what is postcolonial feminism. Postcolonialism is important for women writers for 3 reasons. Firstly, the kinds of oppression exerted by imperialism and patriarchy are almost similar, and therefore the experiences of women in patriarchy and those who have been colonized are similar in many ways. Secondly, feminism is also considered with the manner in which identity is constructed through the use of language and representation. Thirdly, the word post highlights the impact that colonial and imperial histories have in shaping a colonial way of thinking about the world and how Western forms of knowledge and power marginalize the non-Western world. A postcolonial approach, therefore, allows for alternative readings of history and also alternative views on current events and issues. Within postcolonial feminist theory, the act of colonization can refer to many different things. right from the literal act of acquiring lands to examining the manner in which social, political, economic, and cultural enslavement of women becomes possible. Therefore, postcolonial feminism occupies an important place in the development of feminist theory. Let us now talk about the term double colonization. The term was first used by Kurtzen, Holst Peterson, and Anna Rutherford in their anthology, A Double Colonization, Colonial and Postcolonial Women's Writing. Double colonization refers to the status of women in the postcolonial world. When closely observed, women in a patriarchal society are oppressed on one hand by the patriarchal power structures, basically meaning a male-dominated power structure. On the other hand, the colonial power also exercises its control. It was observed that this was an ongoing process in many countries, even after they had achieved their independence. So, it emerges that women are double colonized. Once by the imperialism and then by the patriarchal power structures that promote male dominance. Post-colonial feminist scholars approached this issue from an intersectional point of view. They questioned the idea of universal solidarity in women's movements and argued that the struggle against patriarchy as well as social inequality could actually be located in the intersections related to racial, ethnic, and sexual privileges. It was more important, therefore, to uncover the deeper implications of why and how war, conflict, terror, poverty, and social inequalities actually create such contexts for oppression. This will help in understanding the nature of the oppression. For instance, the kind of oppression that a woman faces in the Western world may be very different from the kind of oppression that a woman faces in the third world country. With this awareness, it became possible for many women writers to articulate such differences in their experiences. Now let's take a look at some significant postcolonial feminist works. Audre Lorde's The Master's Tools Will Never Dismantle the Master's House, published in 1984, and Chandra Talpade's Under Western Eyes, published in 1984, are considered two of the most significant works which provide the basis for postcolonial feminism. At the beginning of the third wave of feminism, Audre Lorde wrote, The Master's Tools Will Never Dismantle the Master's House. Using the metaphor of master's tools and master's house, Lorde makes the point that Western feminism often failed to recognize and acknowledge the differences between groups of women and their experience. Therefore, their efforts to make a positive impact for the third world women often failed. This was an instance of Western feminists used a tool often employed by patriarchy to oppress women, that of not acknowledging the differences that exist in the real world. Chandra Talpade's Under Western Eyes was another significant work which closely analyzed the tendencies of Western feminists to homogenize the experiences of third world women. Third world women are made up of different groups based on country, socio-economic position, power structures that operate, etc. Based on this, it is safe to assume that their experiences need not necessarily be the same. However, Talpade noticed that Western feminists often write about the third world woman as a composite singular construction, and she finds this to be arbitrary and limiting. Western feminists often tend to depict third world women as victims of masculine control and traditional culture without actually considering the historical and cultural context of such oppressions and the differences with reference to the third world context as well. Therefore, the situation of women in the developing world is often evaluated with Western feminism as the standard. This obviously implies that the voice of the third world woman is often silenced within the feminist writings. Therefore, Talpade made case that the third world women should have a voice and their experiences should take into account the context from which they are being articulated. Now let's talk about two very important terms, liminal space and hybridity. Within the postcolonial discourse, liminality and hybridity occupy a very important position. To understand these terms, one must refer to the rites of passage as described by anthropologists Van Gennep and Victor Turner. Rites of passage is, in very simple terms, refers to a ceremony or a ritual that happens when an individual gives up a certain role to take up a new role. Example, a boy becoming an adult, etc. These rites of passage ideally have three stages: separation, liminality, and incorporation. In the separation phase, people withdraw from their current status, place, and prepare to move to another status or place. The second stage, which is the liminality stage, is the transition phase, the period in between the stages during which one has left one place or stage but has not yet entered or joined the next. So they are in between two places. In the final and the third incorporation stage, the person assumes the new identity or role. This is the phase that is characterized by rites and trials or symbols. Liminality, derived from the Latin word limen, refers literally to threshold. It is used to refer to a transitory in-between state of space which is characterized by indeterminacy, ambiguity, and hybridity. Liminality can also be used to talk about a transitory stage which is often associated with life-changing events or border situations, a space that enables movement, say, for example, from one set of beliefs to another, or one set of assumptions, conclusions to another. In this sense, the liminal space can also be seen as border zone. Broadly speaking, these three rites of passage stages can be correlated to the stages of colonialism also. An initial awareness of the social, psychological, and cultural inferiority enforced by being in a colonized state is followed by a struggle for ethnic, cultural, and political autonomy. This results in a growing awareness of cultural overlap and hybridity, which in turn leads the colonized subject to re-examine his or her own identity. While discussing post-colonial feminism, the terms liminality and hybridity are very important. Liminality is seen as the in-between space and issued to describe the cultural change that occurs. For example, when the colonized subject may be located in the space between colonial discourse and the assumption of a new non-colonial discourse or non-colonial identity. Hybridity refers to the creation of new forms characterized by a transcultural space produced by colonization. These factors have led to what is often described as the transcultural shift in feminist writing. Mary Pratt in Imperial Eyes, Travel Writing and Transculturation describes transculturation as a phenomenon of the contact zone. Contact zone, as used by Pratt, refers to the spaces in which different cultures meet and clash with each other, often with different patterns of relations as seen in dominance, subordination, colonialism, and slavery. The cultural identity of a colonized subject tends to be ambivalent because he or she is located in the contact zone between two cultures. Recognizing this ambivalent space can actually help feminist scholars to better understand the experiences of the women in countries which have been colonized. This can be illustrated with the following example. Gayatri Chakraborty Spivak, in her work Can the Subaltern Speak, which was published in 1985, points out the danger of assuming that it was a simple matter of allowing the subaltern or the oppressed subject to speak without recognizing that their speech is limited by the limits under which they were seen as being colonial subjects or subalterns. Subaltern, meaning of inferior rank, is used to refer to those peoples or groups in society which are subjected to the hegemony of the ruling class or the powerful classes. Let us quickly turn to some significant postcolonial women writers and their works. Alice Walker wrote The Color Purple in early 1980s. It was written in the epistolary form. and won her a Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award. The book was inspired by her early life experiences while growing up in rural Georgia. Although the Civil War had been over for nearly a century, many African Americans were still made to experience humiliating and devastating discriminatory laws. Black people could not use the same water fountains, lunch counters, etc. as the white people, and were also prevented from obtaining education at white-dominated universities. Within such a context, the color purple presented a hard-hitting picture of the aggression perpetuated on the black woman, both by patriarchal power structures which privileged the black man over the black woman, and also the power dynamics between the blacks and whites, which is again used as an instrument of oppression. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's Half of a Yellow Sun, which was published in 2006, examines the politics and identity in post-colonial Africa. It examines the events of the Nigerian Civil War and the years preceding it. Adichie's father and his experiences during this time were her main source of events in the novel. Set against the context of the Biafran War, the novel not only analyzed the political debates of the future of Nigeria, but also the role played by Westerners in capturing the Nigerian history. Urvashi Bhutalia's The Other Side of Silence, published in 2000, focused on the unheard tales of women during the partition. These women had faced double violence during the exodus. Firstly, from the perpetrators of violence, and secondly, from the men in their own community who killed them to protect their honor. The book showed that in all forms of conflict, women are often the worst victims. Mahashweta Devi used her writings to expose exploitation and domination in the post-colonial state. In particular, she highlighted the position of the tribal communities within India, whom she described as suffering spectators of the India and is traveling towards the 21st century. With specific reference to the Adivasis, she felt that the progress made by the country after independence did not empower them. To the contrary, they were socially, politically, and economically marginalized. Mahashweta Devi criticized the institutionalized patriarchy through her short story collection, The Breast Stories, which were published in 1997. Narrating the stories of three women who hail from the marginal sections of the society, she exposed the intersections of sexual oppression, economics, and culture, which work towards tyrannizing women. Let us now quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. We have discussed post-colonialism and why it is important for women writers. We have also considered how factors like liminality and hybridity contributed to the debates on post-colonialism. Further, we have examined the contributions of writers like Audre Lorde and Chandramohan Talpade on the post-colonial feminism. Finally, we have also seen how post-colonial feminism can be seen in the works of some of the significant women writers outside India and also the women writers from India. This is the end of the unit 12, the post-colonial. Thank you.